The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Friday, 15th day of December 2017. Talking to P.J. Barton over there in Wales. It's 1 a.m. his time over there. What time do you usually sleep, P.J.?
I turn in at 3 a.m.
Really?
I monitor Mr. Kelso up in up in North Dakota, where I got it. I know how cold it is up there. I've lived in Alberta. And he's right on some things. I won't slag him off on air, not too much. But and then by the time the others come on, it's nearly my bedtime, 3 a.m. But I have 4 or 5 hours as me, and I've plenty to do. But what was I going to say? I was just thinking this through, this whole debacle, even though I'm right up against my nose to the glass here in Europe. But the trump card that Putin has is Germany, I think, is 40% dependent on energy-wise with Russian gas. And the gas, they have a landline pipeline and they have an undersea pipeline, which has just been finished. They treat that as very serious. And if Eastern Europe doesn't want to freeze to death in an economic collapse in the world, they're going to have to, well, he won't be firing any shots. But Putin has some trump cards there. He really has.
No pun intended, I'm sure.
Yeah.
From
this other man.
From your perspective over there in Wales, you've been watching what's been going on with Donald Trump. I mean, we're into more a year of his presidency.
Uh-huh.
And it's gone from an investigation that was partisan, crooked as hell. I've even heard people comment that, well, just because you're in the FBI doesn't mean you can't have a public political opinion. Well, you can have your voter wish card, I guess, who you would vote for or who you voted for, but we're talking about true collusion and trying to undermine a president, and it's gone from collusion to now obstruction. There's nothing there. This has been hammered for over a year. American people are sitting around looking at each other right now going, okay, what else should we be paying attention to now that they've drug this out? Oh, and on top of it, PJ, this is always good for salacious airtime with the boob heads, is all this misogyny and all this sexual stuff going on.
Men never grow from a relationship, you know. I think of very weird. I won't say anything obscene. One of Joan Rivers' best jokes, that wasn't a dirty joke, Johnny Carson was ragging her one night. Don't you think intelligence is important? Don't you think intelligence is important? And he was trying to annoy her. He said, listen, she said, no man ever put his hand up a woman's skirt looking for a library card. And Carson nearly fell off the chair. It was such a good joke, you know.
Well, it's... it's just amazing to me. I mean, we sit and watch the happenings in our own country. We get very little real news, and one of the big things that's been kept out of the media here in this country, you know, you can go to the internet, and there are people ranting and raving. I mean, literally, rapes going on at the hands of these invaders. Some people call them political dissidents. Some people call them immigrants. Some people will give it a name. And
Middle Eastern immigrants.
Yeah, they're coming into countries, Norway, Germany, France, literally raping. I mean, the internet is literally awash in women that have been just battered, beat up. I mean, 3, 4, 5 or a gang of these guys will literally rape a woman, and we're hearing nothing about it. We're hearing about somebody grabbing a boob over here in this country, and you've got women literally in the streets being raped and in some cases killed.
And the police trying to log it as a different type of crime in all those countries. And the BBC have now removed certain people because there was these allegations. I mean, just allegations about minor crap. Sent salacious text messages to somebody. They attacked Alan Jones, who was a very good Christian presenter of religious programs and other things. And they've done appalling damage. I hope he sues the arse off them. But there's political correctness here is absolutely rampant. And it's cropping up every day of the week. In situations, but including this creep, who's the head of the Church of England, Justin Welby, former senior executive in BP, by the way, that's who he was years ago. But he's now saying we should provide for the diverse family today. He was talking about transgenderism. We're all consumed with this now, which wasn't even a word in our dictionary of words 10 years ago. And it just wasn't. And they're all being manipulated, these idiots.
It's amazing to me, absolutely amazing. Well, PJ, I appreciate you coming up on the program.
And okay, I'm sorry, I rushed through things on Brexit, but you have to go through a certain amount of stuff. What was, what's happening, and what's the future? And I've just put on the headers there, just the headers. But it'll run. It's a God's gift to journalism. It's full employment for I'm not a paid journalist, as you know, neither are you. But it's God's gift that keeps giving to journalists. That's what Brexit is as well.
Well, and whatever other crisis that we can use. And here's always been my indicator. If it drags on more than a day, start looking around. Put your head on a swivel. Start looking 10 degrees up on the horizon to see what's coming at you next. And in this country, there is absolutely a total lockdown of any type of news other than political backstabbing and groping and we need to get rid of Trump and on it goes. It's just this constant, it's like a white noise of political poppycock. And that's all the American people are getting.
Yeah, just one last thing. Read Paul McCrick Roberts' reasoning about Trump recognizing or moving the embassies, which will never happen really, to Jerusalem. He says that's a deal done through Kushner and those with the Mossad to protect him. It's a bit far out the border. Look at that. This week he has that up on one of his articles.
Well, and, you know, we've got a 36-year-old that is hanging in the... I know he reminds me of a vampire hanging in the shadows. You never see the guy... You never see the guy give interviews. There is nothing. He's the power behind the throne, but many are contending that Trump has turned over the reins of power to a 36-year-old son-in-law.
Yeah, shocking.
It is shocking.
Truly. Indeed.
Well, when are we going to start calling him President Kushner? That's what I want to know. All right, hey, PJ, I appreciate it, my friend.
Okay, take care. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. And again, the Barden Report on Saturday nights, 9 p.m. to 12 midnight. That's Saturday night. Absolutely fascinating. I've been watching the news, folks, and there is no news. There's none. Salacious opinion-making, getcha politics, point, counterpoint over pointless stuff. That's the best way I can describe it. Point, counterpoint on pointlessness. And that's designed to do what? Satiate people? Make them believe that nothing else is really going on? Or are they just going for broke? Literally going for broke? And are they going to bore the American people to death with all their salacious political stuff? Knowing full well there's a world of stuff happening right under their noses. But it's not being talked about. By the way, talking about the European Union. This is rather fascinating to me. Jews flee Paris suburbs after rising tide of anti-Semitism. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Let me get this right. Okay, France, like Germany, like every other EU country over there, let's throw open the doors to people from Syria and elsewhere in the Middle East. Okay, let's take oil and water, try to mix it together, and see how that works out. Now, keeping in mind that Jews, every time they try to set up shop and take over things, and how many countries over how many years, how many countries they've been thrown out of? So now you mix up somebody that is not necessarily friendly to, say, Jews, and then there's a big mystery as to why they want to leave. I see. French Jewish families are being forced from their homes, this is from Breitbart, in Paris suburbs as Europe continues to be convulsed by levels of anti-Semitism not seen since the end of the Second World War. The Paris commuter newspaper, 20 Minutes, documents an internal exodus during 2017 of Jews from the Saint-Denis department, saying that it is emblematic of broader concerns that French Jews, like their brothers and sisters across Europe, are finding it increasingly difficult to reconcile their faith with the changing demographics of the continent. Duh. The paper reports that Jews are leaving their homes on the northeastern fringe of Paris to escape the open hostility that French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe on Sunday condemned as well-rooted. The newspaper reports that this internal exodus is difficult to quantify, but it's clear that many synagogues of the Saint-Denis have closed for lack of people. In another town close to Paris, the rabbi has recorded a 50% decline in congregation since his arrival 13 years ago. A similar story is told in nearby Bondy, where attendance on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish calendar, by the way, has fallen from 800 to 400 in the last decade. The Bondy synagogue president saw it as a deteriorating climate of the last 15 years as driving the exodus. It's hard to explain. It's provocation. It looks, he lamented, there are places where we do not feel welcome. Those observations mimic those made 12 months before in nearby Raincy, where local rabbi Moshe Lewin said that he feared he could be one of the last Jewish leaders in the Saint-Denis. What upsets me is that in some areas of France, Jews can no longer live peacefully, and that just 5 minutes from my home, some are forced to hide their kippas, or their skull caps, or their Star of David. The sensation of not feeling welcome is nothing new to French Jews. In 2015, journalist Zvika Klein recorded a reaction to his taking to the streets of Paris wearing the traditional kippah. Klein later points out the irony that Paris today is a city where kippah-wearing men and veiled women speak Arabic on every street corner, but where the soldiers are walking every street that houses a Jewish institution. Sammy Golzlin, the president of the Jewish Communal Security Organization, BNVCA, told 20 Minutes, I guess that's their shortened version of 60 Minutes, that it was vital not to underestimate the anti-Semitism we experience on a daily basis. Now, folks, there's a lot of reasons for anti-Semitism. In this country, what I've been able to deduce for all of these years, that most of the Jews, and I don't care if they're Orthodox or whatever, doesn't matter, most of them are liberal. Okay? That's the tribal connection in this country. Liberalism, which I call communism or socialism. In my way of thinking, that's number one. It does not matter to me, should it matter to anybody else, if you go to a synagogue or St. Mary's Church. The politics of the religion is used, but take a look at the core of who the people are and what they believe. And to say that is hateful, that statement unto itself is proof that I'm an anti-Semite. No, it proves that I'm a traditional American that likes a stable country, that believes in his form of government, as written by the designers of it, and has seen it actually work. And I want it back. I don't want your little mysterious cabal of socialism and communism and a better idea for humanity or whatever else. It just strikes me as being odd that the people that have the most to lose by way of open dialogue in a public forum are the ones that try to shut down the open dialogue in a public forum. Go figure. No other race, or is it race or is it religion? I'm still confused to this day. Yeah, whatever's convenient. Yeah, you got that right, Mike. You know, it just seems to me that those that are most afraid of the truth will bar others from speaking it. That's pretty plain and simple in my world. That everything should be open to examination and discussion. Have you ever heard me on this program, you know, go full tilt boogie on Jews saying, oh, they should be eradicated. I mean, any good Jew is a dead Jew. No, you're not going to hear that from me. But there has been a structural institution in this country, and it was, and I do say was, Christian. If anybody is starting to doubt that, just start looking at Chuck Baldwin's recent articles and how he has said that, look, he said the churches are gone. These people that are proclaiming to be the leaders of the people and believing in God and all that, he said, just witness what happened to Judge Roy Moore. Wow. And he is right. I'm just fascinated by all the machinations and all the confusion that is deliberately being hoisted for your perusal or rejection or frustration. They're teaching us one good thing: how to knee-jerk react, spontaneously respond, rather than quiet contemplative thought. Based on experience, based on the past, based on the history that we know that works. Doesn't work anymore. It's immediate. It's chaos. It's a crisis. Crisis management. We got to fix, fix, fix. And the more we try to fix, the more it gets broken. FBI agent indicted, accused of lying about gunshots during the Oregon standoff. When is the first I've heard since, what, a month ago, a month and a half ago? FBI guy is charged with lying? Well, the FBI can lie. We just can't lie to the FBI. Robert Lavoie Finicum was shot to death by an FBI agent during an Oregon wildlife refuge standoff in 2016. First time I've seen that. It's always been a mystery. Well, who was it that shot him? It was an FBI agent. We knew that right from the start. A special agent with the elite FBI hostage rescue team has been indicted. A special agent with the elite FBI hostage rescue team has been indicted and accused of trying to cover up the firing of gunshots during an encounter with a member of the armed group. See, they were armed. As if to intimate here that they were armed looking for trouble. A member of an armed group who occupied an Oregon wildlife refuge last year. The indictment filed last week and made public Wednesday does not accuse Special Agent W. Joseph Asteria, I'll get that right, I'll keep trying it a few more times, of shooting the occupier, but it is a public black eye for the FBI group, which the Bureau has described as unparalleled in law enforcement capabilities. What? 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 You got an FBI guy that shot Lavoie Finicum, claimed that he was going for a weapon, but he was reacting to being shot. You saw the videos from inside Finicum's truck. Nobody was grabbing for guns. Nobody was going to say, okay, load them up, burst open through the doors. We may die, but we'll take them with us. Finnegan got out of that truck because shots were being fired. He got out with his hands in the air. His hands came down, supposedly reaching for a weapon, only after bullets started making contact with his body. He was simply reacting. He knew exactly what he was up against, and he saw the rifles pointed at him. Folks, Lavoie Finnegan wasn't somebody that wanted to commit death by cop side or antagonize a cop into getting him to shoot him. Wow, some indictment here. Doesn't accuse of shooting the occupier. Well, he did shoot him. He's not accused of shooting him, but he did shoot him. You see where this is going, right? At the height of the occupation of Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, which stretched on for weeks at the bird sanctuary in southeastern Oregon, authorities pulled over some of the group's leaders as they traveled on a snowy highway towards the meeting on January 26, 2016. Thank you, FBI. We got the video. FBI agents and Oregon State Police troopers swarmed a group, and one of the occupiers, Robert Lavoie Finnegan, 54-year-old rancher who acted as the group spokesman, tried to drive away at high speed. They knew exactly where he was going. He's going to visit the county sheriff. After nearly hitting an agent, Finnegan veered off the road into a snowy bank. He walked toward an officer, appearing to reach for his jacket. Where officials say he was carrying a loaded 9mm handgun, state troopers opened fire and struck Finnegan 3 times in the back, killing him. Wait back up here a second. The story just contradicts itself, saying that it was the Oregon state troopers that opened fire and struck Finnegan. It was an FBI guy. Weeks later, authorities said they had deemed the shooting justified because the troopers feared for their lives. Isn't that amazing? That same day, Oregon officials and Justice Department Inspector General announced that they were investigating the actions of the FBI agents during the encounter. Deschutes County Sheriff Shane Nelson said at a March 2016 news conference that investigators found a bullet hole on the roof of Finnegan's car that could not be accounted for based on the shots troopers fired. Nelson said they came to determine that an FBI agent fired that shot. On Wednesday afternoon, Astradia, in a dark gray pinstripe suit and a red navy striped tie, stood in a magistrate court before Judge Janice Stewart. Arrestia was next to a federal defender who entered a not guilty plea on all counts. A week-long jury trial was set to begin August 29th. By the way, this FBI agent is not being held in custody. No bond. When this FBI agent appeared in court, one apparent supporter of Finnegan was in the front row, a tattoo of Finnegan's cattle brand on her right wrist. And a 5-count indictment filed under seal last week in U.S. District Court for the District of Oregon and unsealed by a judge on Wednesday, Arrestia is this guy's name, is described as an HRT member assigned to the wildlife standoff. The indictment said this agent falsely stated he had not fired his weapon during the attempted arrest of Finnegan, when he knew then and there that had been that he had fired his weapon. I guess he just didn't realize he did. He described firing 2 shots during the encounter. According to the indictment, this agent made false statements to 3 different supervisory special agents, all of whom are identified only by initials for security reasons. The indictment also charges this FBI agent with 2 counts of obstruction of justice for allegedly misleading Oregon State Police officers about the 2 rounds. And, of course, an FBI spokesman did not immediately respond to a request for comment, nor will they get one? Laura in Michigan. Hello, Laura.
Hey, John. I just thought I'd give you a little news from Michigan. We now have a Muslim Rhodes Scholar who is backed by George Soros running for governor.
Wow.
Yeah. His name is Abdul something, Salim or something like that.
And what is the virtuous guy? What's the hook politically with this guy? What are they proclaiming he's going to do?
I haven't really said too much yet. So I don't know. Put Sharia law in. I could go out and shop for burkas, you know, right now.
Wow. Well,
it's kind of a shocker.
Well, and it is. I mean, Michigan's a weird state. I mean, it really is. I've seen so much corruption in Michigan centered around Detroit and their political machine. It's just absolutely fascinating. And people in Michigan, it's kind of strange. Either they're hunters and they take off up north for a couple of weeks, or they actually live outside the cities. And they really seem disconnected from all the stuff that's going on. You know, the literal structure of that state is falling apart, but people seem quietly disassociative. They seem to not be part of the chaos. It's weird.
Well, how we got our governor right now, Snyder, he's real liberal. We have this open primaries, which means people can cross over. You don't have to be registered as one or the other. So what happened is all the Democrats cross over and vote in the Republican primary, and we end up always getting these liberal guys.
Now they haven't learned a lesson yet. I mean,
yeah,
the politics
primaries are a bad idea.
Yeah, the politics in and around Detroit has been liberal socialist since the '60s, and look what shape they're in. All right, Laura, appreciate your call.
Okay, bye bye.
Ed in Utah. Hello, Ed.
Yeah. Hello, John. I appreciate all the work you're doing here, your interview earlier tonight.
What's on your mind?
Well, I want to do a follow-up. I talked to you at length the other night concerning the Roy Moore situation in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a comment about it. Look what happened to him. John, as each day goes by, it's not a matter of convinced. Do I think there was vote fraud there? Obviously there was. In fact, I think even right now, even Roy Moore himself, like talking about these 22,000 write-ins or the military votes and what have you, that's the tip of the iceberg. In fact, even if they let 10,000 black felons vote in that election, that's not going to touch things. Just look at hard numbers and compare them. Look at the 08 election with Jeff Sessions and his Democrat appointment. Jeff Sessions, I didn't have the numbers the other night for you as such. Jeff Sessions got 1.2 million votes. The Democrat, Paul Brannon, I think his name was, something like that, he got 715,000 votes. Now keep in mind that Jones the other night got probably the accurate amount. They can muster up that many. 670,000 is what his official count is. Okay, then I brought up the Hillary situation because that was the election last year. Just looking, not a Senate race, but just looking at the numbers. And yes, I admit that in presidential years, like 08 with Jeff Sessions and 16, there's a higher turnout. But that's on both sides. And Hillary got 750,000 votes. Okay, so that's in line with what the Democrat opponent, as I just mentioned in 08,
okay,
Sessions.
Ed, do me a favor. Ed, hang on to that thought right there. Stop right there. We'll take the bottom of the hour break. And already I've gotten more phone calls than Mike Rivero got. 800-313-9443 on this Friday evening.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Big John, Big John. Every morning at the mine you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't get
my daddy was 6'4" and he weighed 145 pounds. A whisper in the wind. Ed in Utah. We were at the Hillary Clinton numbers when we got interrupted by a commercial.
Okay, John, yes, and that was, albeit, can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead, Ed. Okay. I'll let you know okay. When I'm not hearing you well.
Alrighty, so you had Hillary Clinton at 1.2 million last year in a presidential election. But like I said, Jeff Sessions' opponent in 08, another presidential year, so the turnout was a bit higher. His opponent got 720,000 votes, mm-hmm. Right in that range there. Sessions himself got 1.2 million. Notice over a million, both of the last two elections for the Republican candidate, whether it be a Trump president or Jeff Sessions for a Senate race. So now we come to this, and sure, the turnout's not going to be quite as high. It's an off-year election, et cetera, John. But the Democrat... even they needed, as they all admitted, ABC and CNN, a historic turnout. They did not get a historic black turnout this year. They got a large turnout, a heavy turnout, but not historic numbers. And as you can see, he got 670,000 votes, probably pretty accurate. Okay, so what I'm asking right now, what I'm putting forth, is they knew that they could come up with those votes and prove he got them. But what they... what we are asked to believe is that 600,000, at least 550,000 Republicans who voted last time stayed out of this highly publicized, highly charged election. That's what we're being asked to believe. Forget the 20,000 write-in. Forget the military vote or the shut-in vote. Where's the 500,000 votes that voted the last two times out is what I'm putting forth here for people to consider.
Well, who is it? The Secretary of State is going to declare the official winner, January of next year, right?
Right.
Okay. And we still don't, and who, it was not really publicized, and I watched the news, and I don't remember the name of the write-in Republican candidate, and how many votes that person got. And what about the write-in votes, the military votes? You know, we're talking about a difference here of what, 1.5%?
Yeah. In the scam numbers, yes, in what we're to believe right now, this fairy tale.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened, John, you're right about that, 14,000 votes. So their ace in the hole to keep the scam going was the 20,000 write-ins. That's why they brought the political whore, Senator Shelby, on the Talking Heads on Sunday to say he wasn't going to write, he was going to do a write-in. He couldn't bring himself to vote for Roy Moore. So you enter that, and then go back to what I mentioned, that Fox News was the only one with a contrary poll, the only major poll. Everyone else had Roy Moore winning by up to 10 points. And sure enough, before they started in the heavy fraud at about the 68% reporting level of the precinct the other night, Roy Moore had a 53.5 at one point, 53.5 to 45, 8.5. Near the 10-point range over Doug Jones. All of a sudden, it started changing. There's nothing that can support such a wild swing at that point. They were stealing the election, and they knew they could prove the numbers Jones got, 670,000. What they had to do is make Republicans sit back and take it on the chin, and that's why they came out with Fox calling. They were the first to call it, John, at 9:20 p.m. on Tuesday night.
Jeez,
so they come out with the only thing that
could have made that better is Megyn Kelly still being on Fox.
There you go. But I want to bounce this off you and then get an opinion of you. I know you read a dissertation after I got off the other night, and I believe it was from Roger Stone. You said, correct?
Yes, it was.
That's amazing. That's amazing, because now we have the spectacle of both Donald Trump and now today, apparently, Steve Bannon joins the fray, saying that Roy Moore should lead the race. I'm sorry, Steve Bannon is out of line with that, because Roy Moore has, as he said to anyone who would listen, in a speech the other night, that the process is these votes have to be certified. The problem is, the Alabama Supreme Court moved in unprecedented speed last Monday, less than 24 hours before the polls opened, John, and they overruled the Montgomery County judge that had said that they had to keep the vision, the video images of the paper ballot votes that were being cast. They had to keep them. They couldn't destroy them. All of a sudden, the state Supreme Court overruled it 23 hours before. Obviously, what are we thinking, folks? The fix had to be in at that point.
Right.
The preparation was there with Richard Shelby, Mike Lee out here in Utah, you know, notable great voices. These people are pieces of crap. They are worse than the worst.
Well,
and then Fox comes in. Sorry?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, just recently, in the last couple of days, Paul Ryan says that he's going to leave his post, and he's going to leave politics next year. And I'm watching this. We're going to be losing some of the heavy hitters. I don't know if the effeminate one out of the Carolinas can hang on, but John McCain's not long for this world. Mitch McConnell is despised just about anybody that has two brain cells that can synapse and communicate with each other. The polls are now showing and I hate to resort to the polls, but 15% approval of Congress, that's what the American people, that's where they're at. Let me put it another way. Yeah. 85% of the American people are looking at Congress and going, you're a joke. You're ineffective. Yeah. You have become nothing. We want you gone. And they're still going to keep doing this? I don't see their point unless they're waiting for us to get out there with the tar and the feathers and the matchsticks and the pitchforks and have at it. I don't know what they think they're holding on to, because the rest of us have basically, at least on a political landscape, has caught on.
I think you're right, John, and that's why I listen to your show more than any other, because you have the analysis, you have the levity, and I just want to add one thing to all this. This is a clarion call moment to bring vote fraud right to the forefront. Obviously, the major media, they're even ignoring this huge moment, because you have a case where he's not conceding. As of now, he's not conceding. Roy Moore is not conceding, and he's waiting for the certification. Well, if it doesn't have to be an automatic triggered vote recount. He can call for one if he can get the funding to get it done. Let's say he does. Okay, what are they going to count?
It's already been fixed. There's nothing to count.
You got it.
Yeah.
But he can make a big moment of that, and we can start. We can continue a movement. He seems to be a leader of leaders here. He did it with the Ten Commandments. He did it with the homo marriage a couple
he,
years ago.
He was also going to challenge, as a U.S. senator, he was also going to spearhead and challenge Roe v. Wade.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, him being a past judge would be a good judge of character of who to get on the appellate and Supreme Court. This man would have been a helmsman, and he's a fighter in the Traficant tradition.
He's not buried yet. Ed, I appreciate your analysis. I thank you so much.
Thank you for the airtime, John.
All righty, sir.
And I will be sending money to the network. I don't do it on a regular basis, but when I do, I send a chunk of change.
Well, I appreciate that, Ed, very much. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, the question was asked, should we shut down the FBI for corruption? I'll give you Bill Still's report here in a minute. Let's go to Roxanne in Texas. Hello, Roxanne. Hello, Roxanne.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I think what we're dealing with is an alpha v beta 3 protein.
Huh?
And I don't know if you listen to Win Parker or any of these others that you have on your network. What we're dealing with is an alpha B protein. Worldwide, loads of these people that want to do dominance are able to do what they, quotation marks, on. And they'll kill each other. And they'll kill you. And they'll entrap you into this world of dominance.
All right. Roxanne?
They're unstable. Okay. Hold on. They're unstable. And you, and all of us say that we got to take America back. We can't take it back because it's not here. And I know it's hard to believe. I know.
No, what's hard to believe is you're thrown in the towel. I'm still here, and so are you. And the last time I checked, we the people, we are the government. We just have a problem here. We have a bunch of people in a supposedly representative form of government based on the Constitution that doesn't know what the Constitution is. We're still here, and so is the damn Constitution. They are not winning, not over my dead body or yours, ma'am. Sorry? Okay, well, you didn't have it on the screen anyhow, so I didn't know that you lost her. All right. Bill's still reporting. This guy, he's still doing it after all these years.
Good afternoon. I'm still reporting on the coup. Well, the coup is starting to come unraveled. Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch, one of the best-informed people in Washington on this matter, appeared on Shannon Bream's show on Fox late last night.
It seems like the Deputy Attorney General is indicating he does know more about the dossier. Obviously, he didn't feel like he felt like he was constrained in some way, that he couldn't answer some of these questions. Do you think we're ever going to get an answer about who paid for it, if the FBI paid for any information, and whether or not it was used to secure a warrant to then spy on the Trump team?
Oh, I think it's eventually going to come out. The question is how. Is it going to be forced out through court process or through the IG report? We don't know. You know, it's interesting he admitted there is a dossier, because we've sued both the FBI and Justice Department for information about these payments and what was going on with the dossier. They won't even confirm or deny the dossier exists to Judicial Watch, and we're in the middle of a court fight on it. I can't believe the stonewalling I'm getting from the Justice Department and the FBI. Our attorneys are back and forth with them, trying to get information on the dossier, trying to figure out about these FBI texts, and they're playing games with us. And I see they're also playing games with Congress. And the leadership of the FBI and Justice Department need to take ownership over this gamesmanship, because it's destroying the credibility, and it makes it look like those agencies have something to hide.
Well, interestingly, we referenced this court filing from Glenn Simpson, one of the co-founders of Fusion GPS. He does say in this, and under perjury, penalty of perjury, he said today, bank records reflect the Fusion contracted with Nellie Orr to help our company with its research and analysis of Mr. Trump. Nellie Orr is the wife of a DOJ official who reached out to Fusion GPS before and after the election because he wanted to talk to them about this information about the president.
Understand what this means, that Fusion GPS was getting at least some of their information directly from the Department of Justice sources, and possibly not the Russians at all. Sad to say, but it is possible that this entire fake scenario was cooked up inside the walls of the FBI and the DOJ.
That seems, even by D.C. standards, where a lot of us have spouses that work in different agencies and sometimes we are overlapping in our interests, that seems a little too close for comfort for just about everybody.
Look, Fusion GPS was a Hillary Clinton campaign vendor, and the Justice Department was working hand in glove with it, perhaps paying it money. I think that the suspicion is they were paying them money. Top DOJ official's wife is working with them. There was no distinction between the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Department of Justice and the FBI. And the goal was unified, which was to get Donald Trump. And the text messages that have come out show that they had some type of insurance policy in case Mr. Trump won the presidency. This is our FBI. Forget about the FBI investigation into Clinton and Trump being compromised by these conflicts. I think the FBI has been compromised. Forget about shutting down Mr. Mueller. Do we need to shut down the FBI because it was turned into a KGB-type operation by the Obama administration?
People are going to feel like that's a pretty radical statement to make.
Not when you add in the fact that 75% of the U.S. mainstream media is colluding with this anti-Trump mafiosi. This is just what the Ministry of Propaganda did for the KGB. If it were not for Fox News, we would know absolutely nothing about this. If it were not for Fox News backstopping folks like me, I would have been kicked off YouTube years ago. That's the sad and scary situation we are in. We are hanging on to our republic by a very slender thread.
Look, the FBI cannot be trusted to investigate high-level government corruption at this time. And right now, you see Mr. Rosenstein being blasé about the corruption that's going on in his watch. He says, well, we'll get to it when the IG report comes out. In the meantime, Mueller's operation, which has been compromised, is indicting and prosecuting people. They need protection. And I'm tired of the blasé attitude of this Justice Department and FBI towards the outrageous corruption that's been uncovered. They were hiding it, remember. They were hiding this FBI agent, having him be demoted. Been hiding it since July.
Understand what that means. Everything that came out yesterday, all of the texts, all the collusion with the Clintons, and now the in-your-face conspiracy against Donald Trump, was all known to the top government lawyer, Mr. Rosenstein, since July. They've had 5 months to figure out how they're going to spin this. They've also had 5 months to destroy the worst of it. Yes, shocking. These guys would actually destroy evidence of crimes because they are the perpetrators of those crimes. Why not?
Well, okay, onto the point of Peter Strzok, who was taken off the team. This is what Democrat Congressman Nadler had to say today about that.
Peter Strzok did not say anything about Donald Trump that the majority of Americans weren't also thinking at the same time. And second, in a testament to his integrity and situational awareness, when the Office of the Inspector General made Mr. Mueller aware of these exchanges, he immediately removed Mr. Strzok from his team.
He may or may not have acted quickly once he found out, but I don't even believe that story. I think Rosenstein probably knew exactly what was going on all along, and only acted when the Inspector General brought it to his attention. Then he feigned surprise and shock, then did something about it. But what was that something? Did he fire him? No, he gave him a title in HR, and then you can bet your bottom dollar he went right on managing this cover-up of all this. This is a criminal enterprise perpetrated by members of the Clinton cabal with FBI guns on their hips and badges in their pockets.
Quickly, why is that not good enough for you?
Because we don't know what he was involved in up to that point in time. He may have been involved in the interview of General Flynn, for which he had to plead guilty. I would question that. Was he involved in the targeting of Manafort? Was he involved in the decision-making surrounding the Clinton email investigation? You know, the timing of that text about having an insurance policy seems to coincide with the timing of the seeking of a FISA application to spy on the Trump team. Look, we can't trust anything coming out of the Mueller investigation until we figure out what went on with these FBI texts.
I'm still reporting from the one-time free speech capital of the world. Good day.
Bill's still doing it. Well, how's this to cap off a week? Cook County Commissioner Boykin has asked the United Nations to help in Chicago with peacekeepers. Boykin admits that the high murder rate of blacks is by other blacks. Apparently, there are a lot of blacks out there that haven't heard Black Lives Matter. Boykin, on the UN, they've been able to help in places like Africa and abroad, where they've sent troops in and sent forces in to help protect minority and vulnerable populations. And so, quite frankly, I think the same can be said for here in Chicago. Wow. Evidently, Mr. Boykin hasn't seen the documentary by G. Edward Griffin, Katanga, The Untold Story. That'll show you what happens when you bring UN peacekeepers in. And by the way, I haven't been to the target range in a long time. Can I have little blue helmets running around the streets of America? The moving targets? Well, watch this one, folks. The first step will be to send advisors or observers in. Of course, doing their clandestine reconnaissance. You got to survey the battlefield as any commander would do. Then little blue helmets show up. These people are the military occupation force and conduct themselves as just that, an occupying force. What are they thinking here? There was noises being made that they wanted to Fed in there. Oh, we need to Fed. Oh, no, we don't need to. Yeah, we need to Fed in here. Well, we've got a problem. Well, they didn't invite the Feds in, and now they're going straight to the UN. Really? The U.S. has probably already signed up with the UN that the civilians cannot have guns globally. Remember their little, their masterful little thing in front of the UN? It's a 38 with a knot tied in the barrel that the media never shows you. If that doesn't tell you what their thoughts are about guns, I don't know what will. There may be the opportunity they've been waiting for to confiscate guns on a grand scale. Can you see the gangs of Chicago joining forces against UN troops? That'll take about 6-8 months reporting time, so we won't have to report anything else. Yeah. Wow. And whatever else here is fit to report. Hmm. You know, I just find it fascinating. I'm serious about this, folks. We don't have any political fights going on anymore. We have had our time taken up with confusing story after story and opinion based on nothing close to even facts as to what this wonderful tax bill, and they were supposed to vote on it today, or they're going to vote on it Tuesday. Quite frankly, I don't give a damn. Because this is nothing but dog and pony show for the unwashed and uneducated masses. Sitting there waiting to hear a figure, mind you, of how much of a deduction they're going to get. As I said yesterday, half the people in this country are not filing taxes with the IRS for one reason or another. So do you think half the country gives a damn what deductions they're not going to take? Because guess what? In order to get these deductions, guess what you got to do? You got to file with the IRS. So half the country is not going to file and find out what taxes aren't or aren't collected. And what benefit out of this tax package, and there's no benefit. This is all dog and pony stuff. To confound and confuse people as if these asshats in Washington are actually doing something, which in effect they are not. The end result of all the tedium and the words and the reporting and all of this is for naught. The only people I've seen score a big one out of this is U.S. corporations, and I'm not in for a 35% tax with them. That was one of the stated reasons why they left. This is not a competitive environment for corporations to act in and to try to produce anything, so we're picking up our bat and our ball, and we're going to some other place on this planet. Now, let's see how many people and corporations this actually pulls back into the country. Now that I think, and memory serves here, it's 22% tax bracket instead of the 35. Whoopee, am I assured that there are a team of lawyers on how to find loopholes and beat that tax? Are they going to do away with their bevy of high-paid lawyers and accountants that sit around and figure out ways for them not to pay taxes? And then I'm going to be one of these people that jump on and go, oh, you know, tax the rich, look at us poor. Folks, we know the reason why all this conundrum and chaos is going on. We have said it repeatedly. And no amount of wrangling, word-lipping, or anything else is going to change anything in Washington, D.C. It will not. Dog and pony shows for the unwashed, dumbed-down masses. Enjoy the show along with your popcorn. Wow. All right, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back Monday with another edition of the National Intel Report. I think James Kelso is next. Well, what's Jimmy, my boy, going to do if they roust Donald Trump out of Washington? I'll have to ask him that one of these days. At any rate, thanks for being here today, folks. I mean, seriously, have a good, peaceful, non-chaotic, reflective weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.